Amen and amen. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 17. Last week we took a little hiatus from that and hit Psalms for Father's Day, and we recognized those guys that made a difference in our life. And so we want to get back on track and recognize that God has a good word for us. You may have noticed that we're going to have communion at the end of the service. And so as we look today at Abraham and the covenant given to him of circumcision, a covenant of flesh, we're going to look at the idea at the very end of a covenant of faith and how God calls us to be believers and trust in him and remember what he's done for us. And so just recognize that we will understand and recognize that God loves us and wants us to be a people that always remember him and the things we say and do. So let me read to you out of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 17, just as verses 1 through 8. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make a nation of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger of all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for those great testimonies in the Old Testament about a God that makes promises and keeps them. And so, Lord, today help us to recognize the promises you've made us and how you desire for us to walk in those and that you keep those to the very end. And so, Lord, today I pray that you be me, give me unction to speak, remove my past distractions, let me be found faithful to your word and just simply speak the truth in love, mercy, and grace. And Lord, I pray for those under the sound of my voice that they would heed those things and they would be convicted and, Lord, they would follow you. Help that be said of all of us in this room. And thank you, Lord, for that promise when your word is ready, not come back void. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you back up, and if you look at the book of Genesis, Genesis 1 through 3, that's the idea about creation and the fall of man. And then in Genesis 4, we found there's Cain and Abel and the issues they had and the first murder and how that was not good. Chapter 5 is really about the descendants of Adam. Chapter 6 through 8, that's Noah and the flood and those things that took place there. Chapter 9 is about the rainbow that established a covenant with Noah and really for all the earth. And so we find this covenant-making God speaking to him. And then in chapter 11, there's a lot of evil again, pride. And so we find the Tower of Babel and how the people are sent out. Chapter 12 is really where Abraham, as we'll see today, has changed to, comes on the scene. He was a man that lived in the Ur of Chaldees, a family of unbelievers. God calls him out, and God's going to make a covenant with him. Matter of fact, he says, I'm going to bless you. I'll go so far to say, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And so God made a covenant with him. Chapter 13, we find that his nephew Lot is now amongst them, and now Lot makes a poor choice and heads towards Sodom. Chapter 14, we find Lot in bondage. The kings of the land have captured him. Abraham has to go and rescue him. Chapter 15, we find God speaking to Abram again, just reiterating the covenant that he'd already made and how I'm going to bless you and give you this great land. Walk the length of it. It is yours. And then we find in chapter 16 that he kind of takes that promise into his own hands, has a child by not his wife, but by Hagar, the bondservant of his wife, which they were married, and produced a son named Ishmael. And then we find in chapter 17 that God speaks to him again, saying, that's not the way I planned for you. Here is the way, and reestablishes the covenant once again. And so I just want to remind you that God always does what he says he will do. And so notice some things in this passage in chapter 17 that I think are important for us to recognize. First, we find there's the appearance to Abram. Again, God is speaking. It's been almost 25 years from the first time when God spoke to Abram. Almost 25 years since God called him out of the Ur of Chaldees. spoke to him sometime regularly at times. And then we find maybe 13 years from the last time that God has spoken to Abram. And so don't just think that it was an everyday occurrence. It was the miraculous in one sense. So we find in verse 1, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Now here's what we need to understand from this. One, the character of God was revealed to him. The character of God was revealed to Abram in a fresh way. We get a glimpse of God by the way that God calls himself or names himself. We get an understanding a little bit of who God is and what God can do by the names we find in the Word of God. There are many names described to God. Matter of fact, we find his first name, Elohim, as the creator God. And from that word, Elohim, or El, is El Olam. That word refers to the everlasting one, or El Elyon, the most high one, or the one that Melchizedek used. El Elroy is the one that describes God as the seeing one. But here we find for the first time El Shaddai, the Almighty, the one that is truly above all, that can do all things. And we know this God will be later named Yahweh as he reveals himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 6. Matter of fact, let me read that to you. Exodus chapter 6 verse 3 says, And I appeared unto Abram and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty, that's El Shaddai. But my name, Jehovah, or it should be Yahweh, was I not known to them. And so God's going to reveal himself in different ways that we may get an understanding of who God is and what God can do. And so this name El Shaddai, that he comes and says, I'm the Almighty, is the God of all power and all sufficiency, which Abram needed to understand at this time. And through that, we recognize that with God, nothing is impossible. And so there will be a point where Abram will understand that he needs the Lord's help. And so hopefully we will do the same. For with God, nothing is impossible with us. The Bible says so in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. It says that same thing in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, when it says this, But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 said, And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, Remove hence yonder into your place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. We need to understand the power that God has in that name of El Shaddai, which he reveals to us as Jesus, as we will see. We need to understand the power of God, that he's all sufficient. Abram needed that, and so do we. For us, though, it's not the name of the Old Testament that he reveals himself to, but now again, the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, we're reminded about this name called Jesus. It says there in verse 9, Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 says, Far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, that name is Jesus. God reveals himself to us in many ways, but to us truly for salvation, it is the name of Jesus that we understand. And for those seeking an encounter with God this morning, it is by his name, Jesus, that we do that. Acts 4:12 says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. That name is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And so if you're here today and need an encounter with a holy God, it is by the name of Jesus that we call on him. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came to seek and save that which was lost. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, Casting all your care upon him, that's Jesus, for he careth for you. And so when Abram got a word from God, he understood by the name El Shaddai that God was all sufficient and all powerful and that could do what he needed done. But it doesn't stop there. Not only is the character of God revealed, but the command of God is given. Again, verse 1. At the end of the verse, it says, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, be thou perfect. Walk before me, be thou perfect. Now, you may think, well, that's the Old Testament saying. That's something that they had to do in the Old Testament. I'm telling you, that's not. That's the same God that we still serve today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And so the idea that we need to be a people that seek after God, that need to try to be holy, to abide in His presence. And so He told Abram to walk before Me. And we would say today something similar, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in His presence. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm around different people, I tend to act, I'm just confessing my sins, I tend to act a little different. I'm just going to tell you. Maybe if you're in school, when the principal shows up, you tend to act a little bit different. Amen? Or when you maybe around your boss, you tend to be a little straighter, a little on the narrow path. And so I'm telling you, God says for us to walk in His presence, to get to a point where we don't walk differently than we do any other day. We walk the same before Him in truth and in spirit. And so the Lord's telling him, walk in this way. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary to one another. So you cannot do that which you would." In other words, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to keep doing those things that you should not be doing. Yes, there may be some times that you step out of the path, just like Abram does. But this desire to walk in the Spirit is how we should be. So how can we do this? How can we walk before the Lord? How can we be, quote-unquote, perfect? We can't be perfect, but we should have a heart that longs to be. Notice the first step in this idea. Verse 3 says, Abram fell on his face. Abram humbled himself. I'm telling you, my friends, before you do anything else, you ought to humble yourself and recognize that you are not God, that God is God, and that God is all-powerful and all-sufficient, and you can trust in Him. A sign of humility bows your head. Jesus said in Matthew 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The poor in spirit, the humble. This man, Abram, bowed himself. He humbled himself before the Almighty God. It is also a sign of submission that he recognizes, "I will not walk away. I cannot fight. I cannot run. I will do as you ask." James chapter 4 relates that same idea. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." All he's saying there, you may not like the idea about mourning and weeping, but he's saying, put those sinful things aside and just trust the Lord, and he will bring a great blessing in your life. So the Lord reveals himself again to Abram by a name, and we recognize how good that is. We recognize that he is lifted up, and he will now trust in the Lord. Abram falls on his face, and we need to do the same. So have you heard from the Lord? His word speaks to us daily. Have you humbled yourself? Have you sought an encounter with him? Let me remind you, he is here today. Matthew 18:20 says, "For two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." And Almighty God seeks us and wants us to seek him. Again, have you humbled yourself today? Abraham did, and his journey continued with the Lord. So we go from the appearance of Abram, but now to the actions of the Almighty. The Lord is going to speak to him in a powerful way and bless him in different ways. So we find first the covenant of God affirmed. Verse 2 says, "And I will make my covenant between me and thee." Let me read that again. "I will make my covenant between me and thee." The idea is he's already set a covenant. He's already mentioned that in chapter 12. He's already spoken about that in chapter 15. He's already made those covenants. And so it's just a reminder of the covenant that has been made. I will make good on my covenant. He reaffirms what's already had been said. Why does he say it again? Has God failed to keep the covenant? No, but Abram sure had. Abraham was called to live uprightly, and Abraham was called to follow God, but yet we find that he's lying to different people. We find that he goes in a wrong direction at times. We find that he tries to fulfill things by doing it in his own power instead of God's. If you read chapter 16, you know he makes a terrible mistake, and yet God still calls and says, I will make my covenant right with you. So God has made a confirmation of his covenant. Not only does he say, I will, but he says it about 10 plus times. Let me read you a few of those. Verse 6 says, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, of kings that shall come out of thee. How about verse 7? I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thy generations. How about verse 8? I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. So many times in our life, if you're like me, when you make a breach, when you make a failure, when you mess up, you sometimes you back up and say, Lord, have I made a blunder too big that I cannot be used anymore? Ask Moses about failures. Moses blundered greatly. He was a murderer. He was a man that would not trust his own power. He was a man that messed up time and time again. Ask King David about his adultery and his murder. Ask Jonah about the refusal to do God's will and go in the other way. Ask Peter when he denies the Lord three different times. Ask Abraham again how God truly used him even though he blundered time and time again. So the question may be, why would God bless Abraham? The same answer is, why would God bless us? So that we might honor him and use our blessings to cause others to know him. It's been nearly 25 years since God called him to step out of faith. And yes, he was stepping out, but sometimes he does not as he should. But God made a covenant with him, and God always keeps his word. So the Lord reminds him, I will not forget what I said to do. And so don't worry about the time frame of your life. If you made a commitment to the Lord, just know he's made a commitment to you. If you trusted in Christ, he has made that first with you. And you may not understand all the things that are taking place, but God has a plan for your life. Trust in him. I'm reminded of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He says, but now, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. I'm trying to let you understand that sometimes our time frame does not match up with God, but we surely can trust him. The psalmist said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. So the Lord affirms his covenant with him. And then notice this, the Lord changes the name of Abram. The Lord changes the name of Abram. Verse 5 says, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations I have made thee. If you really don't know the backstory, you have to dig down. Abram was probably a name that his father gave him because of where they lived at. And it was a sign of serving a false god or the moon god. It means father is exalted, and we tend to think that's toward God, but really that he was named for some false god. But now God comes to him and says, your name will be Abraham, a father of the multitude. God gave a new name for Abraham, and that new name does not reflect his past, but his future. God could have called him liar or faithless or wanderer in the wrong direction, but he does not. He does not name Abram because of his past mistakes or his past messes up or messed up things. But instead, he focuses on the future and by the power of God, what he will be. He does that same for us. And God wants us to recognize that he wants to change our name. God's always been a name changer, if you go back to the book of the Bibles. Jacob was turned to Israel. Jacob was the name of deceiver. Israel now means something completely different. A prince with God, one who strives with God. How about Simon to Peter or Saul to Paul? The Lord wants us to have a new name about our future, not our past. So he goes from sinner to saint. He goes from an unbeliever to a believer. He calls us the chosen ones, the elect, the heirs of God. He calls us by our new name. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12 says, to him that overcomes, and you overcome by Christ Jesus, I will make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go out no more. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. And so just as God changed Abram's name to Abraham, God changes our name to his children. He desires for us to have that new name to honor him. Notice the third thing. Not just the covenant, not just the Lord changing the name of Abram, but thirdly, the Lord requires circumcision as a sign. Notice verse 10. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskins, as it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And so we find that there's a new part of the covenant. We've seen how God made that covenant earlier with the cutting of sheep and the cutting of oxen, how they were going to pass through, but only God passed through. But this is a new token or a new covenant. Circumcision will be the outward sign of the unseen, except to all that were in close relationship. It was an action based on faith. It was a response to faith that led a visible reminder that God had made a covenant with them. Every family would be involved that would follow Abraham's promise or God's promise to Abraham about being the chosen people. Now you may ask today, is that still a covenant with us? And if you go to the book of 1 Corinthians, he speaks about circumcision there, and it really availeth nothing for us as believers. Galatians chapter 5, matter of fact, it says if you're trying to be justified by circumcision, you've fallen from grace. Romans chapter 2 speaks about those things. And then Romans 3, verse 30 says, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision by faith. And so the thought for us today is, he's not calling us to be have a circumcision of the flesh, but a circumcised heart, to place our faith in the covenant of Christ. And when we follow Christ Jesus, when we have a circumcised heart, as the Bible says, we are in the family of God. So let me ask you, are you part of the family of God? Has there been a change in your life? Does God call you by a new name? That is what God desires for your life. Well, notice the third point. Not just the appearance to Abram, not just the actions of the Almighty, but the acknowledgement by Abraham. The Lord said, I'm going to bless you and give you a child by Sarah, not by Hagar. He had already had Ishmael, a work of the flesh. He'd already tried to help God out, and it's going to make a huge mess in the generations to come. But he said, no, by Sarah. Notice verse 17. Then Abram fell down upon his face and laughed. Why does he laugh? It is not really about God and his promise. But notice this. Abraham now recognizes his flaw. Verse 17 says, then Abraham fell down upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? He laughed because he recognized the impossibility. He says, Lord, I'm an old man, and my wife, she is old too. And he recognized it was impossible for him to do this. The simple thought was that God was unable to use him to accomplish his will. Let me read that again. The simple thought was in his heart that God was unable to use Abraham. You say, why say that? Because you may be the same person. You may have plans that are different from God's, and God may have big plans for you, and God reveals those plans to you, and you say, there's no way, Lord, I can do that. There's no way I can do that. I keep thinking about Abraham saying, Lord, I'm past my prime. I cannot do those things. Matter of fact, read verse 18. Abraham says to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. In other words, God, I believe that you can make a great nation, but do it with what I've done in the past. I cannot no longer do what you want me to now because of my age. My best was way back then, but I'm here to tell you, not so with the Lord. You can do more in your old age with God than you could ever do in your prime without God. You can do more today in your old age with God than you ever do in your prime without God. You may be thinking, shame on Abraham. He just laughed at God. Not really. This is exactly where God wants him. And so must we get to a point in our life when we recognize we cannot do anything without the power of God. We cannot move forward without God. We cannot be faithful without God. We cannot serve without God. We must get to a point in our life when we recognize we can't, but God can. So many times, the only things we do are the things we can do by our own strength. So many times we do only things that don't require faith. Let's get back to a point and say, I can't, but God can. The greatest differences in the people of the Bible that were heroes of the faith were simply this. They trusted God and acted upon that. They were willing to walk by faith. And let me remind you a few people that couldn't do these things, but by God's power they could. If you remember Moses, remember his stammering tongue? God called him to go and speak to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 says, and Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither herefore, since thou hast spoken to thy servant, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who hath made the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have I not the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thee in thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. A couple thousand years later, somebody wrote this about Moses. Acts chapter 7. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. Kind of give a summation of his life. Yes, he was raised up by the Egyptians. He recognized he was not eloquent, but he trusted God, and he became a man mighty in words and deeds. He trusted the power of God. Think about old Gideon. Gideon's going to be used by God to beat the Midianites. And so Gideon rallied the troops, and 32,000 people came with him. And God said, there's too many to get honor and glory. Send those home that are afraid. And 22,000 left, 10,000 people with him. And Gideon's trying to say, we can beat the Midianites still with 10,000. And God said, there's still too many. And he gave him a test by the water and sent all but 300 home. But with the 300, God overcame a great army by his own power. Think about the Apostle Paul when he said this. He was speaking about the infirmity of his flesh in 2 Corinthians 12. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul had an issue of the flesh that he could not overcome. He prayed to have it removed. And Christ said, that is the very thing I want to use, because I know that you can't, but I can. Today, what are you facing that you think, I cannot serve, I cannot seek this thing, I cannot do this for God, I cannot witness, I cannot, whatever it is. Just know you can't, but God surely can. If we're willing to simply abide in the power of Christ and let him do those things. Some of you today may be salvation, and God's calling you, and God's calling you, and you're thinking about your past, and saying, no, Lord, you don't understand. I've been so bad. I'm not worthy. I can't. I'm telling you, you can't, and you're not worthy. But God can and does save people. Why not call upon him? Why not speak to him? There's other people think, well, I'm not bad enough to be saved. I'm a pretty good person. I'm reminded that you will never make it in. The book of Revelation said that you will be spewed out of your mouth, those that are not hot or cold. I'm telling you, trust in the power of Christ. It may be your service today and where God wants to use you. Will you simply follow him? The Lord can do great things if you'll simply trust in his power and not yourselves. Well, here's the last thing. Abraham recognizes flaws, but also Abraham responds in faith. Abraham responds in faith. Abraham has been called out. He now has to make a choice to believe God and follow his word, or not to believe God and do what God wants. But we're clearly understanding that he believed God and followed because of what he did. How do I know that? Notice verse 23. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male to the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abram was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskins. And in the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house born in the house, bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Notice that word all used many times. Every, and then that word self-same. Abraham trusted the Lord. How do we know? Because he didn't wait around and he didn't leave anything out. He was willing to do exactly as God did, as said. He was willing to do exactly what God had said and do it immediately. So let me remind you, God's called us to be faithful. So the question is, are we doing the will of God? Abraham didn't say, well, one day I'll get around to it. One day if it works out, if everybody's agreeable with this, if it doesn't offend anybody, if it works out, I'll do this. No, when God spoke, he did. Is there a priority in our lives? Not a, I'll get around to it sooner or later, but a priority to do the will of God. Abraham believed and followed God with all of his heart in his hands. Abraham acted because of his faith, and the Lord used him greatly. I wonder today, will we do the same thing? If you're here today and God's speaking to your heart, don't hold back. Maybe it's the day of salvation, and God's saying, today is the day that you need to surrender. Why not? Maybe today is the day of service, and God's called you to do something for his way, and you know exactly what it is. Maybe it's something in the church or some other place, but God's calling you, and you've said no for so long. Why not say yes today? Maybe it's rededication. Maybe it's church membership that you want to serve in this house. Whatever it is, don't hasten. Don't put it off. Do all that he says, and do it when he says, and how good it is when we trust in the Lord. Charles Wesley wrote this little poem years ago. This is the first part of it. All things are possible to him that can in Jesus' name believe. Lord, I no more thy truth blaspheme, thy truth I lovingly receive. I can, I do believe in thee, all things are possible to me. Charles Wesley understood the power of God. And when you trust in the Lord fully and let his power work in you, nothing shall be impossible for us. God's calling. I wonder, will we seek him today? I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment. It is the invitation time. Something has been done for thousands of years. That when the word of God is spoken, people have a chance to respond. You may be here today recognizing that God's been calling you just like he called Abram and Abraham. That God wants to change your name. That God wants to change your will. That God wants to change everything about you. Don't let that be fearful. But recognize that God wants to do a mighty work in your life. Not just to bless you, but to be a blessing to so many. If God's calling you this morning, don't hold back. Don't turn around. Don't walk away. As Abraham submitted, why don't you? Father, we thank you for the day that you made. We thank you, Lord, for your word that brings conviction. We thank you, Lord, for the covenant that you made with Abraham and for all those descendants to which we get Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the promise we have in him, Christ, that we can have a new name and a new life. So, Lord, today work on our hearts, convict us, and let us be like those people of the past, those of faith that trust in you. Bless us today, that the courage to follow. Thank you for calling. In Jesus' name, amen.